So again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to start reading at verse 19 and just read a couple of verses. Verse 19 says this: "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good." And we'll stop there. With many of Paul's letters, there are different types of letters that he wrote. Some of them are doctrinal. They spell out doctrine in clear order, like Romans. And sometimes Paul's letters are addressed to churches to address specific things, to address the specific needs that are going on in a church. This is one of those. These are a couple of those verses where he's actually addressing specific things that are going on in a specific church. But these are typical instructions because they made it into the Bible, because they are typical of so many things in so many churches, even those things that are in our day. And we could learn from that as well. What must have been happening, and I don't know exactly the situation, of course no one does, but what we can look at and what we could gain from our day and age, in our day and age, is that there probably were people that were quenching the Spirit of God. There were probably people that were despising prophecies, that they were going along these lines. This is why he addresses something so directly. Let me give you an example of something. When I first started with the company that I worked for, they would allow us. They had a place, and we called it like the gift shop. It was a place where we can go and get supplies. We would get our pencils and papers and rulers and little scissors, like we were going to do crafts. I don't know, but we had all this stuff, and we would go down there, and we would just say, "Okay, this is what we need," and they would give it to us. And they had stacks and stacks of shelves. And they had all these neat little things, and we would just go down there and we would say, "I need this," and somebody would run in the back and get it, and it would come to us, and then we would have it, and it was great. So I remember even on the first day, you got all this stuff. And then one day, somebody came out of there with a new little toy. And the new little toy was something, I know this is an old thing, it was called a Palm Pilot. And for engineers, this stuff is great stuff. And it was this new thing, and it was one of the first things that you could actually write on a screen. And it was expensive too, because it was a brand new thing. And all of a sudden, people were walking out of this store with $400 worth of equipment. And then when one person seated, everybody was like, "Wait, I want this too." And so then all of a sudden, all of us were going down and we were all coming out with these really expensive things. And then what happened was the company said, "Hey, this is out of hand." And it was out of hand. It definitely was, because everybody was showing up with these things. And then they came out with a new version, and everybody wanted the new version. And the company went from one extreme to the other, where they said, "Okay, not only are we not going to give you any of these things, we're not going to supply you with anything. We're going to cut off the whole place. We're not going to give you anything at all. So much so that now we have to supply our own pencils. We have to bring our own paper. If we want a paper clip, we have to go buy it ourselves. So we're like a little homeless engineers sitting around the recycling bin looking for paper in the garbage. This is what we are." We went from one extreme all the way to the other extreme. And this is typical of people's reaction. They overreact when there's a problem. Let's eliminate the problem by going way on the other extreme. Let's swing the pendulum way over to the other side. And that's typical of people. And it reminds me of what might have been happening in this situation, where maybe in the church situation, maybe there were people that were acting under the Spirit of God, that maybe they were getting too loud, maybe they were too emotional, maybe there was all kinds of things that people were uncomfortable with. Maybe there was a little bit too much humanness, human flesh in there. Maybe there was all these kinds of things. Maybe there were prayers that were too long. Maybe there were things that just weren't exactly right. And then, to stop it, people went to far the other extreme. They start saying, okay, you know, we don't like any of this, so we're going to go way on the other side. We're going to quench the Spirit in the... Maybe they didn't say it in those words, but this was the action. We're going to actually not allow these things to happen anymore. It's a typical human reaction when things are a little bit awry. We might even go as far as despising prophecies. I remember when a person that in our lives we had visited many churches of friends, and it seems like in almost every church we've been to, there's at least four, five, maybe even six. Every church we've been to, whether it's here or in some other state or wherever it is, it seems like somebody comes up to us and prophesies that we should be in their church. It's like, really? God is not schizophrenic. He does not want us in six different places all at the same time. Somebody's wrong. But that doesn't make me despise prophecy. They could be wrong. They're human. We're humans. It doesn't make me throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because I've seen things, and I'm sure everyone, if I talk to you, especially if you've been around Christianity long enough, I'm sure you've seen abuses in 100 different forms. But still, the Word of God warns us and says, don't quench the Spirit. Just because there's things wrong, just because you've seen things that are out of balance, just because you've seen things that aren't right, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise those things. Because they're needed. I've been reading, God's been leading me back to the history of this very church. Fascinating things went on slightly over 100 years ago. And I remember, and I read recently that the summary of why the church existed, it was just given in one statement. It was because we relied on the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is why our church was able to prosper, because of the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. This is why. They actually use this as the cloak of the church. Very poetic type phrase. The cloak of the church. The leading of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do we realize that the Bible tells us that each and every one of us that have been saved, that the Holy Spirit has given us at least one gift. Many, probably many more than just one. Could you imagine if we seen those gifts of the Spirit in operation regularly? We thank God that we have seen God moving, and it is wonderful when He does, and no one will deny that that is the case. But to see that consistently and regularly would be incredible. What a house of worship it would be. What a magnet to the world to see the Spirit of God moving in each one of them. And the thing is that you have this already. The Bible tells us it is given to each one every time. And in every place, there's four places, and every place is in the Bible where it talks about spiritual gifts. It says each one has it. Each one has it. Every single time, all four places. Each one has this. That means you. I'm talking to you. If you're saying, no, not me, it must be talking about, I'm talking to you. Because the Bible says that you, each one, and we have, and we've seen things. We know that we've seen healings. And we're so grateful to that. We're grateful to everything that God has given us. Now we just want to see the consistency and God to be able to move through each one of us. Do we see words of wisdom consistently? Do we see words of knowledge consistently? Do we see prophecies consistently? Do we see offices like the gift of an evangelist consistently? Do we see these things consistently? The Bible says the Holy Spirit is given the gifts of the Spirit to whom He wills in the church. We're the church. We're the church. That means the Holy Spirit has done that, whether we use the gift or not, whether we even know about it or not, is another matter. But it doesn't mean that it's not there. The Bible tells us it's there. That means we believe it. And many times we're driven by fear. We're driven by fear or bad experiences from the past. And those are very real. There's no doubt about them as being real, but they can't drive us to a place where we quench the Spirit entirely. Because that is certainly possible. That is certainly something that could happen when you see enough bad things. The Bible even tells us in Proverbs, it's Proverbs 14 maybe? Yeah, Proverbs 14. It says, there's a very strange verse. It says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But much increase comes from the strength of the ox. It's a very odd verse. Where there's no oxen, the manger is clean. But much increase comes from the strength of the ox. That means sometimes you're bound to get some things that get messy. If you have great strength, sometimes there's messes, and we should expect it. We shouldn't say, okay, we want things so clean that we're going to throw away the ox as well. And this is exactly what could happen as we quench the Spirit. As we're so afraid of the Spirit's movement. Do you realize in 1 Corinthians where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, it says He's given this by the Spirit. He's given this gift by the Spirit. He's given that gift by the Spirit. Everything is by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who has decided who to give each gift to. And if we despise that Spirit, if we despise that, then where will the gifts land? If we want a clean place, if we want a clean and immaculate place, there might be no strength left because we've shooed the oxen out of the stable. It's God who wants His church to flourish through his Spirit's moving, through His gifts in operation in each one of us. It's God who wants us to flourish in this way. It's God who's given us this history, even in this place. God has given us that history of flourishing through the movement of His Spirit through individuals. I'll have you turn, if you can, to 2 Timothy as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 6. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this. It's Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you see how he's connected these two things, these two ideas, the gifts of the Spirit, but then there's fear? Because very often people are afraid. People are afraid of gifts of the Spirit because they've seen things that are wrong and they've seen things clearly that are not right. And so they say, well, we're afraid of that, so we won't want to get anywhere near it. And he says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. He said, and don't be afraid, because God's not giving you that spirit of fear, but God's giving you the spirit of power, and God's giving you the spirit of love, and God's giving you the spirit of a sound mind. These are the things that God has given. God is not the one who instills fear in us. We see that there is so much fear throughout the world today. There's fear of almost everything. We even seen this last week, how an entire city could get shut down by a 19-year-old boy. Fear is everywhere. Could be justified. I'm not saying anything about whether it's right or wrong. I'm saying that for an entire city to get shut down by a 19-year-old injured boy. Fear is rampant throughout our world. And the Bible tells us God has not given us that spirit. God's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. These are the things that God has put in us, not fear. But fear is everywhere, and fear even enters the church. Fear, we're so afraid many times of doing something wrong, and it is good to be cautious. It is good to be cautious, but not to the place of paralysis. Not to the place where we don't do anything, where we're afraid to move, and we're afraid to step out in faith, where we're afraid to act at all. The Spirit, the Bible tells us that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. The Spirit is subject to us. We must cooperate with the Spirit of God in these things. Back in 1 Thessalonians, it says, in verse 21, it says, test all things. Test all things. This brings to mind a couple of things. This means that we must use the Bible to test, to filter, to filter what's going on. It's so often so easy to do it. I mean, just even the big things, test all things. Is this done in love? Is this done out of compassion? Is this done with a heart for people? Is this done with a love for God? Even just these few simple things, test all things, and you will see and you will weed through the things that are of God and the things that are not of God. It's very simple. Test all things. The other thing that comes to my mind when I see this is that this means that not everything's going to be right. If we have to test something to see if it's good, that means there's a possibility that it's not going to be good. And we're not to be afraid of that either. We are to address things. We are to correct things. We are to do things in a loving manner to guide the work of God. But it says, test all things and hold fast to what is good. That means that there are things that are going to be bad as well, and we should not be afraid of those as well. Test all things. This means we have to be firm and solid in the Word of God. We have to know what the Word of God tells us and what the Word of God instructs us and what the Word of God says practically in situations, so that when we're confronted with things, when we hear things, when we see things, we know what the Word of God says. This is of God. This is not of God. Not based on our history, not based on, but based on the Word of God. We are to test all things. The Bible is supposed to be our standard of what's right and what's wrong. The Bible is supposed to be our standard, not the history, not the traditions of man, not the will of man. The Bible is supposed to be how we test all things. And then he says, hold fast to what is good. Something also that's very difficult often. Because we like to do the exact opposite. We like to hold fast to what is bad. We're so more drawn to the things that are bad. If we hear good news and bad news, it could be this, it could be that. Well, we almost always jump to what is bad. This might happen. Well, and then all of a sudden in our minds, it's going to happen. Because we hold fast to what is bad. I've seen it so many times, and I've probably said this before, but I've seen it so many times where the doctor says, well, it might be 1 month or it might be 2 months your recovery. And then you hear from everybody, it's going to be 2 months. It might be 6 weeks or it might be, I'm going to be laid up for maybe 10 weeks. Because we don't hold fast to good, we hold fast to what is bad. It must be something in our human nature. We hold fast to what is bad. And this is what seems to stick in our minds very often when it comes to the Spirit's moving among us. We hold fast to the things that are bad. We remember the things that are bad. We recall what this did, and I don't want that to happen again. And this caused so much trouble in the past, so we better move so far away from it that it will never happen again. And there might be good intentions in it, but the pendulum cannot swing that far, and we should not throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we shouldn't have the overreaction to all these things where the Spirit wants to move in our midst. We got to hold fast to the things that are good, because God has done great things. God has done great things in our lives. In the lives of this church body, he's done wonderful things. Sure, we've seen troubles and we've seen situations that had to be dealt with. But God's Spirit has taken us through over 100 years. Amazing. And yet, this is the life of the church, is to listen and to be led by his Spirit. You have to believe in yourself that God, not believe in yourself that you're so good, believe in your mind that God wants to use you, that God has deposited his Spirit in you, that God has given you gifts that are for his purpose. You have to believe this because the Bible tells you that it is true. God wants this to happen in each of our lives. He wants us to be fruitful in these areas. He's given us these things for his kingdom's purpose, so that his kingdom could thrive. Actually, you will be, when you find this place, when you find what God wants you to do, all the other problems in your life will become small. You will be in a place where God is moving through you, and you will find you are made for a purpose, and God has given you a gift or gifts for his purpose. When you find that purpose and you begin to move in that area, you will be fulfilled. You will be fulfilled. This is the way he's created us. He's created us for a purpose. We're off many times on many other purposes and many other things that we're striving after and we're fighting for and we're trying and we're doing it best we can to get, and God says, God has put these things in our lives, put these gifts in our lives so that we might be useful in his kingdom and we might be fulfilled in our lives. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Don't despise the gifts of the Spirit. God has given them to us for a reason, that his kingdom might thrive and that you might have the joy of the Lord. In the name of God, we praise.